across her silencing. To her own, she gave song with an ardent crowd. Guests from the tavern of the secret soul, and savagely mingling in the glorious crowd, longed once to hasten like them to save God's word. Outstretching her hands to stay the song, she cried, "Oh, happy company of luminous gods, reveal who know the road that I must take to find the birthplace of the occult fire and the deep mansion of my secret soul."
We're reading in Book 7, the Book of Yoga, and we've reached page 500 at the break. We're in Canto 3, the entry into the inner countries, and we followed Savitri's journey into the depths of herself to find her soul in matter's body. We've seen the different levels she passes through, the subconscious, physical, the world of the realm of the senses, who want to live for themselves and be free from control of the mind, the realm of the life force, which also wants to carry the mind away with it on its huge rush of dynamic energy. And then there's a level where the mind is, where the life force is under the control of the reason, of the mind. And of course, that's a much more orderly realm, but it's lacking in some of the dynamism that the free life force can give. And then we came to the mind world proper, the self-satisfied mind, which thinks it has the answers to everything. There she's invited to join the elite who have reached that illumined state, and she gave a beautiful answer. She said, "Happy are they who, in this chaos of things, this coming and going of the feet of time, can find the single truth, the eternal law. Untouched they live by hope and doubt and fear. Happy are men anchored on fixed belief in this uncertain and ambiguous world. Or who have planted in the heart's rich soil one small grain of spiritual certitude. Happiest who stand on faith as on a rock. But I must pass, leaving the ended search, truth's rounded outcome firm, immutable, and this harmonic building of world fact, this ordered knowledge of apparent things. Here I can stay not, for I seek my soul. So we completed that section of the canto, and now we are about to continue on page 500 at the break. Today we will read the last section. Stefania, you will begin.
So she fared on across her silent self. To her road she came, thronged with an ardent crowd, whose back brilliant, fire-footed, sunlight high, pressing to reach the world's mysterious world, and pass through masked doorways into outer mind, where the light comes not, nor the mystic voice. Messengers from our subliminal greatnesses, guests from the cavern of the secret soul, into dim spiritual somnolence they break, or shed wide wonder on our waking self. Ideas that wound us with their radiant tread, dreams that are hints of unborn reality, strange goddesses with deep blue magical eyes, strong green air, gods carrying the hearts of hope, great moon-hued visions gliding through all air, aspirations sun dream head and star-clear dreams, emotions making common hearts lying.
Thank you. So this is a deeper level of herself. She's traveling on, she fared on across her silent self, her inner self. And there she comes to a road, and there are lots of people. It's thronged, full of a crowd, an ardent crowd. They're full of enthusiasm and energy, and they are hurrying. They're shining, their feet are like fire, their eyes shine with sunlight, and they are pressing to reach the world's mysterious wall, to break into our physical world somehow. They want to pass through these masked, hidden doorways into the outer mind, where in our surface mind, the light, the higher light, doesn't come. We don't hear the mystic voice in this surface mind. These are coming as messengers from our subliminal greatnesses. Sri Aurobindo tells us that behind this surface being that we are aware of, there's this vast subliminal range of the subtle physical, the inner vital, the inner life being, and the inner mind, and the spirit forming there. So, at times, messengers may come to us, come to our outer awareness, from our inner greatnesses, the much greater part of ourselves, which is hidden from our normal awareness. We wouldn't be able to live our everyday lives if we were aware of it all the time. But messengers come from there. They are guests from the cavern, the secret inner cave deep behind the heart, where the secret soul dwells. If we are in a state of dim spiritual somnolence, a kind of sleepy, trance-like state. They may break through, come to us from within. Or they may even come to us in our waking self, and then we experience a state of wonder, of amazement. They come in the form of ideas, haunting ideas, that with their radiant tread, they come shedding light, bringing light. They come in the form of dreams, dreams that are hints of unborn reality, reality that hasn't been realized or exist yet, but can come. They come perhaps in the form of strange goddesses with deep-pooled magical eyes, or wind-haired gods carrying the harps of hope. You know, there are these small harps, and there's something very beautiful about the sound of those harps that can inspire us with hope and enthusiasm. They glow like the full moon, gliding through golden air, or they come in the form of aspiration with its sun dream head. Our aspirations dream of higher light, star-carved limbs. The form of our aspiration is shaped by those stars which symbolize different truths. They may come in the form of glorious emotions that make our ordinary hearts something sublime, make it our hearts experience sublimity. These are all different kinds of messengers bringing messages from our inner greatnesses. So here she sees them in these beautiful forms, in the forms of a crowd of wonderful beings. And they are all hurrying towards our world, carrying their messages. Patricia, you read? Patty?
And Savitri mingled in that glorious crowd, yearning to the spiritual light they bore, longed once to hasten like them to save God's world. But she reined back the high passion in her heart. She knew that first she must discover her sword. Only who save themselves can others save. In contrary sense, she faced life's written truth. They, carrying the light to suffering men, hurried with eager feet to the outer world. Her eyes were turned towards the eternal source.
Thank you. Anything to ask about this passage?
Yeah, what's going on?
No, I can say something about it. When we are concentrating and trying to find our soul, and we are in some deep indrawn state, we may meet these messengers, or one or two of them, and then we feel this impulse to save the world, to turn towards the world and do some great or noble action, share some beautiful idea, and so on. But here it's very significant. She has to rein back that impulse. She can't, at that moment, turn to share all this, because she knows that first she has to find the source in herself. Only who save themselves can others save. So she's facing life's riddling truth of life, you know, life, what the mystery of life. In an opposite sense, these wonderful beings are hurrying to the outer world to carry the light to suffering men. But her task is to go deeper until she has found her eternal source. So it's a very significant and important passage. Yes, Don.
Then is nature, as we know nature, the cause of man's suffering, as well as joy too, of course, but also the cause of man's suffering?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. I imagine it is.
I think it's the interaction between the movements of our subtle being, let us call it like that, our physical, vital, mental impulses, meeting, which are small things arising in this small, limited being. It's these things encountering the obstacles and refusals and denials of the rest of the universe that cause us suffering most of the time. Here we are, little Don, little me. No. And all this, there's other things going on in the universe. So we can't have things the way that our little individual being would like them to be. We are constantly getting frustrated and upset because things don't go the way that we want to do. And at times this may cause real deep suffering. It's so painful, some of the things that we feel, oh, it should be like this. Not only for our individual selves, but as a whole in Auroville, in the world. We can feel such a deep pain sometimes that things are not as they should be. Does that answer your question? No.
I would say it's not nature that's the cause of their suffering, it's just ignorance. Because there are people in America who go chasing after tornadoes. They think that's the greatest thing in the world. Other people are hiding in fear, but so for them it's a joy and an adventure. So it's the way we see it. But this passage here reminds me of something I heard last night on the internet. Narad's interview with Gilles from the Auroville archives. So he was telling about when Mother was questioned about what is the difference between providing information about Auroville and doing propaganda. So I don't remember exactly what was the answer, but I think she said something about you can only give the knowledge to people who are ready to hear it, something like that.
She said, always give the knowledge in its purest form.
Yes.
Don't tone it down in the idea of helping people to understand. If it's in its purest form, then those who are ready to receive it will receive it.
Because I was just thinking after I read this passage that the mother has actually given us a very relatively easy approach to this problem of finding the soul. Because if you go into the inner chamber, that's the symbol of the soul and spirit there. But when you go into the petals, then that list of 12 qualities, sincerity, humility, gratitude, and all that, that's something concrete that we can work on to build a bridge to the soul and spirit. So that, to me, is her last gift to humanity. And that's why I think there was such great enthusiasm, I remember, on 12-12-12, when I went to the Unity Pavilion here, someone reported that they had been doing an educational project with the young people of Auroville, and they were so enthusiastic about these 12 qualities, studying them, reflecting on them. So I wanted to say that Kirti, who I work with in Pondi, she was going to Delhi. She said, if you have anything you want to send to Narendra Modi, I've got some relatives, I think we can get him a packet. So I suggested to him, what if we make February 28th International Day of Service of Truth? And ask people to reflect on these 12 qualities. Because if we and all the politicians and everybody could get work on these in ourselves, it would be the best thing we could do, I think, for human progress.
Yes, the thing somebody asked Mother, how can we help you in your work? And she said, obviously, the best way you can help me is by finding your psychic being.
Yeah, exactly.
Finding out who you really are. And then living that.
Yeah,
that's what she wants us to do. You know?
Was in sincerity.
So we don't have to preach about it, we just have to do it.
Yeah, but we have to know that it has to be done. That's the first part.
Yeah.
I shouldn't keep doing it there, but all that's just been said there indicates that we are trying to elevate ourselves above this, the physical source that we came from, nature. Nature goes on as it should and doesn't want anything.
But
else.
Nature is evolving, and our dissatisfactions and our aspirations for it to become better and better are a very important tool in that evolution process.
It's just been noted, there's even now a book on it, that there's the predator that in nature which devours, eats, and so on. And humanity is now being called the greatest predator that ever was. And I don't have to go into details, just read about it constantly there. But our being predators is that aspect of nature which has not reached what was just said. So therefore, evolving from that level of nature to something higher.
Yes.
How?
We are all carrying within us the potentiality of a spiritual being. Now, we are mental beings, and mind is in itself limited and sees things separately and can't see things as a whole. Or sometimes it can get a kind of view of the whole, but then it loses control over the details. So that's the limitation of the mind. So the only solution, Medananda has written, the way out is up. There's only one way out, it's up. Yeah? We can't go back to some imagined state of perfection. We are here to evolve, and all the pains and sufferings that we experience are actually to help us to evolve. And all the pains and sufferings that humanity experiences are to help humanity to evolve. And humanity needs to evolve pretty quick to save our poor earth. But there's no shortcuts. The mind can't do it. We keep thinking we can do this or that. This is some kind of mental fix, some shortcut. Some of those things can be helpful, but they are not solutions in themselves. Let's leave it there for today. So what does Savitri do? Sergei.
Stretching her hands to stay, with whom she cried. Her happy company of luminous words revealed, who knows the road that I must tread? For surely the bright water is your home to find the birthplace of the purple fire and the deep cleansing of my secret soul.
Thank you. So you get the picture. There's this crowd of wonderful people rushing, and she stops them. She says, you must know where I need to go. You must have come from that place. I want to find the birthplace of this hidden fire. I want to find the home of my secret soul.
And she calls them gods, not people.
Well, they are gods. I mean, divine beings, immortal beings. They're gods with small g. So perhaps if we have an experience like this when we are going deep into ourselves and we one of these beautiful impulses come, instead of immediately turning outwards and rushing with them into the outward world, we would look, where have you come from? Where is the source of that beautiful impulse that might help us in our search?
It's curious to me, you know, that she's looking for her soul, because when we read the cantos about what she was like growing up and all, it just seems so perfect, no? So
yes.
It's that she was like a vibhuti of the Godhead, but she hadn't found the soul within.
She hadn't consciously found it as a human being. And that's what we read at the very beginning of this chapter, mm-hmm. that the voice told her. Well, first of all, it showed her the cosmic history. And then it said, you've come to do this for human beings. You have to show the way. And that's why you have to find your soul in the physical body, in matter. Because that's what most human beings have to do. Our soul is within us, but it's not fully developed like hers is. No? And perhaps a fully developed soul like that has happened to Mother in her life, no? That it just took her over and led her. But she also had to make an effort to find her psychic being. You have read about it.
Yeah. It's from age 5 she was conscious up here.
Yeah.
But the psychic she got only much later.
Yeah, 1912, I think. Yeah? So what do they tell her? Don?
One answered, pointing to a silenced dim on a remote extremity of sleep in some far background of the inner world. O Savitri, from thy hidden soul we come. We are the messengers, the occult gods, who help men's drab and heavy ignorant lives to wake to beauty and the wonder of things, touching them with glory and divinity. In evil we light the deathless flame of good and hold the torch of knowledge on ignorant roads. We are thy will and all men's will towards light. O human copy and disguise of God, who seekest the deity thou keepest hid, and livest by the truth thou hast not known, follow the world's winding highway to its source. There, in the silence few have ever reached, thou shalt see the fire burning on the bare stone in the deep cavern of thy secret soul.
Thank you. When I read about this, these lines about the messengers coming to help man's drab and heavy ignorant lives to wake to beauty and the wonder of things, I remember the story of somebody who was here in the early days of Oroville. He told me his story. He was a Mexican immigrant to the USA, and he was working as a waiter in a restaurant somewhere, working very hard and long hours and no prospect of anything better, really. But he said that one morning he woke up and he heard the birds. Consciously, he heard the birds. And then he knew there must be something else. And he left his job and he traveled the world and he landed up here.
Is he still here?
He's not still here, but I think he's still very much in touch with Mother and Sri Aurobindo. So something like that, you wake up, you hear the birds, it's a message from your subliminal greatnesses. or anything else that comes and changes your life like that. One of the ways is waking up to beauty and the possibility of glory and divinity.
That's why I think that's one of the best educational tools if little children and adults also just go out and
look at things.
Time in nature.
Look at,
just listen. It's extraordinary.
And another thing they do is that in evil they light the deathless flame of good. There may be terrible things happening. There are terrible things happening. But for some special beings, in the midst of all that awfulness, they may get a gleam of light that changes their lives. That somehow is a kind of justification for some of the terrible things that happen. And they hold the torch of knowledge on our normal, ignorant roads, light up our lives with some beautiful idea. And above all, they are our will, the will of all men, towards light, towards a higher and truer consciousness. And then these last lines, I don't have anything to say, if anybody wants to ask anything. This image of the fire burning on the bare stone. This is what they enact at Tiruvannamalai on the top of the mountain. They image it in the great Indian temples. You enter the doorway and you look down a long, long corridor, arches, and there, far away in the distance, there's a tiny flame burning on the altar. It's the image of that fire we have to find burning within us.
But also, it's so common in India, everywhere they burn camphor on the bare stone, you know. Every time there's a festival or something, at all the temples, all that on the bare stone. Usually, in the, you know, in the West, people would put something
would
in the
put
vessel,
something,
but in
yeah.
India, they put it right on the
stone. That's a beautiful symbol that on matter, in matter or
yeah.
on matter, there's the potentiality of that divine fire. That's
I think Kennedy, former President Kennedy's grave site, there's the eternal flame.
There's
only
flame.
Reminding me of this. Of course, it's not camphor.
The oil or something.
Some.
But what we have to do is to follow the world's winding highway to its source. Where does it come from?
But then can you say why Mother was very adamant that a flame not be burned in Samadhi? She didn't want an eternal flame there.
I don't know. No idea.
The deep souls and the deep cavern of thy secret soul. The point is that the secret soul is very difficult to come to. It's a secret soul.
It's somewhere deep, deep inside. That's the traditional image is the heart cave.
Mm-hmm.
No? And it's not just the emotional heart, it's deeper in than that. No? It's dark in a cavern, but there the fire is burning always. No?
But Shraddhavan, this week I put something about the secret of the Vedas. Rabindra described many levels of consciousness, the process of agony in the secret soul. He described and I put from
it's in the news.
So in the news this week. Or somebody in Savitularam told me something, but I discovered also when I read, but this time when I discovered the process of And Shorindo describe also many levels of some body when we are having the action in the work, in the matter.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Mila, will you read? It's just a short passage.
The Buddha studied is following the great winding road, came with Buddha into a narrow path, trod only by bread and wooded in green feet. A few bright forms emerged from unknown depths and looked at him with calm, immortal eyes. There was no sound to break the brooding hush, only felt the silent nearness of the soul. Mm.
So now we feel so near that it seems almost as if the next canto should be the finding of the soul, but it isn't. Yes, Patty.
I wanted to say I had a thought the other day. I often see these t-shirts in Pondi, I believe in myself. You see this, no? So I said to Kirti, I said, what if we had one, I believe in my soul?
Mm.
She said, yes. So I wanted, if I may, to ask this group, is there anybody here who found out they had a soul when they were a child?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. Because even, you know, I was thinking people often, they get a wish to travel because they hear about this country, that country, or they see on TV something. So if, even if you haven't been there, if you hear that it's there.
At least you believe that it's there.
So if you hear about what is the soul, even if you don't, I think people think it's maybe something too sacred to talk about or something, but we need to know it's there, even if we haven't, maybe we can want it. I think you find it when you want it more than anything else in the world. Then you're ready to find it.
And perhaps you don't know, Patty, Alain Grandcola here in Oroville, he's done a kind of survey, a study.
Mm.
He asked people about their soul experiences, and there's a nice document. Anonymous, of course, but quite interesting.
What's his name?
Alain Grandcola looks after.
He's building the roads.
He looks after the road service.
Has nothing to do with
the road.
This magazine, Ritam.
Saya publishes a magazine,
yes,
Ritam. And it's maybe 3 years back. It's also available as a booklet, yeah? From you, from Prisma. Yeah, so that's easy.
I wanted to say that I felt what was soul in African American struggle, and my mother is an activist and a radical communist.
Mm.
She believed in equality and all these, and she took us to see Martin Luther King, all these great singers of Dada, and then the struggle. When I hear the talking, the voice. When it's talking or singing of movement, that some was from Africa, some were in America and during the civil rights movement. That
touches you very deeply.
Very, very deeply.
Mm.
And that I really long to see in Oroville more African American and African.
Africans.
Everywhere.
We've only got one here.
Jamaica, yeah. Everywhere.
Yes, there are parts of the world that are really underrepresented here, for whatever reason.
The refugees passing through here now, a lot of people fall apart. They're having to get where they want to go.
Mm. Yes.
But I was thinking, you know, the birds can really help us. Sri Aurobindo said the bird is a symbol of the soul.
Yeah.
And where I work, we have a little bird. So it's my job to take care of the bird, give the bird food and water every day.
But that bird is in a cage. Why don't you let your bird go?
Yes.
Oh, no, no. Mm, yeah. No, he's never been out of the cage. And it's up, you know, even when I keep the door open, he doesn't want to come
out.
But Luke Pandey said it'd be the worst thing to let that bird out because there's a cat nearby. He'd like to have him for lunch.
Yes. Bigger cage and a companion. Mm. So to be alone.
Yeah, he already refused a companion. He's a
big cage.
Celibate. He died. But what a sweetie. I mean, it does something to you when you just get quiet and listen to the bird. Mm.
Ganga Lakshmi has birds also, beautiful birds.
I want to put in my room, but I tell you what, it's too much.
Such a simple pet, you know, birds.
But he's in the cage. Mm. But one time I cleaned something in my emotion, in order.
Mm.
One time I am ready, I open. Only through experience, that's all. Mm. Not my mind.
So now we've come to the triple soul forces. It's a fairly long canto. And following our usual practice, we should start reading it. At least we can read the first section, I think, before we come back and look in more detail at all these marvelous images. Marie-Ange, you'd begin.
The people soul forces. Here, from the low and worn and useless ground, the passion of the first ascent began. The moon's bright face in a somber cloud of hair, a woman sat in a pale, lustrous robe. The rugged and ragged soil was a bare seat. Beneath her feet, a sharp and rounding stone, a divine pity on the peaks of the world, a spirit touched by the grief of all that lives, looked out far and saw from inner mind the questionable world of outward things. Of false appearances and plausible shapes. This dubious cosmos stretched in the ignorant void, the plans of Earth, the toil and speed of the stars, and the difficult birth and dolorous end of life. Accepting the universe as a body of all, the mother of the seven sorrows bore the seven stabs that pierced her bleeding heart. The beauty of sadness lingered on her face. Her eyes were dim with the ancient stain of tears. Her heart was riven with the world's agony and burdened with the sorrow and struggle in time. An unwished music trailed in her loud voice.
Thank you. Rosa?
compassion, ecstasy, lifting the road of the patient gaze in soft, sweet, training words, slowly she spoke. O Savitri, I am thy secret soul. To stir the suffering of the world, I can. I draw my children's thanks into my breast. I am the nurse of the dolor beneath the stars. I am the soul of all who waiting breath. Under the
ruthless
cloud
I am woman, nurse and slow bird, and she beaten beast. Thank the fence that gave the cruel blows, the hearts that spun my love and zeal. I serve. I am the coward that clean the pampered doll. I am the given of the bowl of rice. I am the worshipped angel of the house. I am in a all that suffers and that cries.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Mine is a prayer that climbs in vain from heart and terrors by my creature's agonies and the spirit in the world of pain, the scream of tortured flesh and the tortured hearts, falling back on heart and flesh unheard by heaven. Is rent with helpless grief and wrath my soul. I have seen the prison burning in his heart. I have seen the slashed corpse of the slaughtered child. Hard winds cry, ravished and stripped and held, amid the baying of the hell-bound mob. I have looked on, I had no power to save. I have brought no arm of strength to aid or slay. God gave me love, he gave me not his force. I have shared the toil of the yoke, animal drudge, pushed by the good, quote, encouraged by the weak. I have shared the fear-filled life of bird and beast, its long hunt for the day's precious, precarious food, its covert slink and crouch and hungry crawl, its pain and terror seized by weak and flaw. I have shared the daily life of common man, its petty pleasures and its petty cares, its place of troubles and beggared hold of ills, heart's trail of sorrow, hopeless of relief, the unwanted tedious labor without joy, and the pardon of the misery and the strokes of fate.
Thank you. Patricia.
I have been pity, leaning over pain, and the tender smile that heals the wounded heart, and sympathy making life less hard to bear. Man has felt near my unseen face and hands. I have become the sufferer and his mind. I have lain down the neck and the slain. I have lived the prison in the dungeon cell. Heavy on my shoulders weighs the yoke of child. Nothing refusing of creation's load, I have borne all and know I still must bear. Perhaps when the world sinks into a last sleep, I too may sleep in dumb eternal peace. I have borne the calm indifference of my dark, watched nature's cruelty to suffering beings, while God passed silent by, nor turned to him. Yet have I cried not out against his will. Yet have I not accused his cousin cruel. Only to change this great hard world of pain, a patient prayer has risen from my breast. The pallid resignation lights my brow. Within me, a blind faith and mercy dwell. carry the sorrows that never can be quenched, and the compassion that supports the sorrows. I am the hope that looks towards my God, who never came to me till now. His voice I hear, that ever since I come. I know that one day he shall come to my eyes.
Thank you. Tekeste, are you going to read today? No? Helmut.
She sings. And like an echo from below, answering the cadence of divine complaint, a voice of wrath to cut the dire refrain, a growl of thunder, a roar of angry beast. The beast that crouching growls within man's depths, voice of a tortured titan once ignored. I am the man of sorrows. I am he who is nailed on the white cross of the universe. To enjoy my agony, God filled the earth. My passion, he has made this drama stable. He has sent me naked into this bitter world and beaten me with the thoughts of grief and pain, that I might cry and glory at his feet and offer him worship with my blood and tears. I am Prometheus, and the vultures speak. Man, the discoverer of the undying fire, and the flame he kindled burning like a moth. I am the seeker who can never find. I am the fighter who can never win. I am the runner who never touched his goal. Hell tortures me with the edge of my thought. Heaven tortures me with the splendor of my dreams. What profit have I of my animal birth? What profit have I of my human soul? I toil like the animal die. I am man the rebel, man the helpless serf. Fate and my fellows cheat me of my rage. I loosen with my blood my certitude sealed and shake for my aching neck the oppressor's knees. Only to see new talents in my life. My teachers lesson me in slavery. I am shown God's hand in my own signature upon the sorry conflict of my faith.
Thank you. Franz?
I have loved, but none has loved me since my birth. My fruit of works is given to other hands. All that is left me is evil thoughts. I sounded quarrel against God and man, envy of the riches that I cannot share, hate of the happiness that is not mine. I know my fate will ever be the same. It is my nature's work that cannot change. I have loved for mine, not for the beloved's sake. I have lived for myself and not for other lives. Each in himself is soul, my nature's first law. So God has made his harsh and dreadful world. So has he built the petty heart of man. Only by force and rules can man survive. For pity is a weakness in his breast. His goodness is the laxity in the nerves. His kindness an investment for return. His altruism is ego's other face. He serves the world that whom the world may serve.
Thank you. Jocelyn.
Once the kingdom's strength to wait in, he transfers from Etna to the Rhine. How then did reign the master of the world? And like to God, enjoy man's bliss and pain. But God has taken
all concerned to pass the knowledge of the fierce satisfaction with my special plan, as if the name taller than my hand. Only by suffering can I accept. I am the victim of passion too. I am the doer of demoniac things. I was made for evil. Evil is my lot. Evil I must be, and by evil I mean. Not other than I do, but in myself. What nature made me, that I must remain. I suffer and toil and weep. I mourn and hate.
Thank you.
And Savitri heard the voice, the echo heard, and turning to her being of pity spoke, Modoners of suffering, mother of grief divine, thou art a portion of my soul put forth to bear the unbearable sorrow of the world, because thou art men ill not to their doom, but as for happiness and strive with fate. Because thou art, the wretched still can hope, but time is the power to solace, not to say, one day I will return a bringer of strength and make thee drink from the eternal's cup. Streams of force shall drink in thy limbs, and wisdom's calm control thy passionate heart. Thy love shall be the bond of humankind. Compassion, the bright key of nature's acts. Misery shall pass, abolished from the earth. The world shall be free from the anger of the beast. From the cruelty of the Titan and his pain, there shall be peace and joy forever.
Thank you. On passed she in her spirit's upward route. An ardent grandeur climbed mid ferns and rocks. A quiet wind flattered the heart to warmth. A finer perfume breathed from slender trees. All beautiful grew, subtle and high and strange. Here on a boulder, carved like a huge throne, a woman sat in gold and purple sheen, armed with the trident and the thunderbolt, her feet upon a couchant lion's back. A formidable smile curved round her lips. Heaven fire laughed in the corners of her eyes. Her body a mass of courage and heavenly strength. She menaced the triumph of the nether gods. A halo of lightnings flamed around her head, and sovereignty, a great cestus, zoned her robe, and majesty and victory sat with her, guarding in the wide cosmic battlefield against the flat equality of death and the all-leveling insurgent night. The hierarchy of the ordered powers, the high changeless values, the peaked eminences, privileged aristocracy of truth, and in the governing ideal's sun, the triumvirate of wisdom, love and bliss, and the soul autocracy of the absolute light. August on her seat in the inner world of mind, the mother of might looked down on passing things, listened to the advancing tread of time, saw the irresistible wheeling of the suns, and heard the thunder of the march of God. Mano.
Amid the swaying forces in their strife, sovereign was her word of luminous command. Her speech, like a war cry, rang or a pilgrim chant. A chant restoring hope in failing hearts, aspired the harmony of her puissant voice. O Savitri, I am thy secret soul. I have come down into the human world, and the movement watched by an unsleeping eye, and the dark contrariety of Earth's fate, and the battle of the bright and somber powers. I stand upon Earth's paths of danger and grief, and help the unfortunate and save the doomed. To the strong I bring the guerdon of their strength, to the weak I bring the armor of my force. To men who long I carry their coveted joy. I am fortune justifying the great and wise, by the sanction of the plaudits of the crowd, then trampling them with the armed heel of fate. My ear is linked to the cry of the oppressed. I topple down the thrones of tyrant kings. The cry comes from proscribed and hunted lives, appealing to me against the pitiless world. A voice of the forsaken and desolate, and the lone prisoner in his dungeon cell. Men hail in my coming the Almighty's force, or praise with thankful tears his savior praise. I smite the titan who bestrides the world, and slay the ogre in his blood-stained den. I am Durga, goddess of the proud and strong, and Lakshmi, queen of the fair and fortunate. I wear the face of Kali when I kill. I trample the corpses of the demon hordes.
Thank you. We'll pause there. Yeah. Jana?
I am charged by word to do his mighty work, and fairly I serve his will who sent me forth, reckless of pain and earthly consequence. I is not a creature of the sea, but do the deed he has put into my heart. I fear not for the angry throne of heaven. I flinch not from the red assault of hell. I crush the opposition of the gods. Tread down a million godly obstacles. I guide man to the path of the divine and guard him from the red wolf of the snake. I set in his mortal hand my heavenly sword and put on him the breastplate of the gods. I break the ignorant pride of human mind and led the thought to the wideness of the truth. I led man's narrow and successful life and force his sorrowful eyes to gaze at the sun, that he may die to earth and live in his soul. I know the goal, I know the secret road. I have studied the map of invisible worlds. I am part of the Jhana star.
Thank you. Will you read?
Yes. But the great obstinate world resists my word, and the crookedness and evil in man's heart is stronger than reason, profounder than the pit, and the malignancy of hostile powers which craftily back the plot of destiny. The mightier seems than the eternal world. The cosmic evil is too deep to unroot. The cosmic suffering is too vast to heal. The few I guide who pass me towards the light. The few I save, the mass falls back unsaved. The few I help, the many strive and fail. But my heart I have hardened and I do my work. Slowly the light grows, greater in peace. Slowly the world progresses on God's road. His seal is on my task, it cannot fail. I shall hear the silver swing of heaven's gates when God comes out to meet the soul of the world.
Thank you. Do you read?
She spoke, and from the lower human world, an answer, a warped echo, met her speech. The voice came through the spaces of the mind, of the dwarf titan, the thorn chain god, who strives to master his nature's regal stuff and make the universe his instrument. The ego of this great world of desire claimed earth and the wide heavens of the beings, of man. Head of the life, it shapes on earth. Its representative and conscious soul, and symbol of evolving light and force, and the vessel of the Godhead that must speak. A thinking animal, nature's struggling lord, has made of her his nurse and tool and slave, and pays to her as wage and emolument, inescapably by a deep law in things, his heart's grief and his body's death and pain. His pain are her means to grow, to see and feel. His death assists her immortality. A tool and slave of his own slave and tool, he praises his free will and his mastermind, and is pushed by her upon her chosen path. Possessor, he is possessed, and ruler, ruled. Her conscious automaton, her desires duke. His soul is her guest, her sovereign mute. Inert, his body her robot, his life her way to live. His conscious mind, her strong, devoted soul. The voice rose up and smote some innocent.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we won't start his long complaint. We can look at that next week. So this pattern is the same throughout the canto. There are the goddesses who say, "Oh Savitri, I am thy secret soul." But we see that they are not all powerful, that in response to each of them there is this voice from the lower nature that comes up in revolt. Yes, and Savitri explains that they are not all powerful because they are not integral and complete, and she promises each of them that I will return, and then I will bring you what you need, to each of them. So that is her mission and her insight into her mission. So I think we can close with the mother reading. Somebody really wants to get you, Jocelyn. Yeah.
I want to read again.
Yes, we do 7, 8, and 9. So Mother reading three passages from the previous canto. And the paintings are here on the table.
So she fared on across her silent sense. To Rome she came strong with an ardent crowd. Guests from the tavern of the secret soul. And Savitri mingling in that glorious crowd, longed once to hasten like them to save God's world. Outstretching her hands to stay the throng, she cried, "O happy company of luminous gods, reveal who know the road that I must take to find the birthplace of the occult farm and the deep mansion of my secret soul." One answered, pointing to a silence ring on a remote extremity of sleep. In some far background of the inner world. O Savitri, from thy hidden soul we come. Follow the world's winding highway to its source. There, in the silence, few have ever reached. Thou shalt see the fire burning on the bare stone and the deep cavern of thy secret soul. Savitri, following the great winding road, came where it dwindled into a narrow path, trod only by rare-wandered pilgrim feet. Bright forms emerged from unknown depths and looked at her with calm immortal eyes. There was no sound to break the brooding hush. One felt the silent nearness of the soul.
Sri Aurobindo.